So if in third grade, half of the kids are still reading at a first grade level, then instead of just going through the third grade curriculum, they need to move the goalposts a little bit, teach to the level of the kids. We really have to keep our eye on the goal of improving learning and not just do assessment for assessment's sake.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. In developing countries, we're giving more education to more children, and of course, that's a good thing. But often we measure how many children are in school and for how long, rather than focusing on what they learn while they're there. And to improve the quality of education and ensure that no child gets left behind, many countries are replacing infrequent exams with continuous assessment. Well, the policy makes sense on paper, but is it working in the classroom? Jim Berry's one of a team of researchers that investigated the impact of this policy in primary schools in Northwest India. He joins us today to tell us what they discovered. Welcome to Vox Dev Talks, Jim.
Hi, Tim.
Now, in theory, why might these infrequent high-stakes exams be bad for kids?
Well, I think there's sort of two parts to this. There's kind of the infrequent part and the high stakes part. So if the exams are infrequent, then it might be hard for teachers to adapt their teaching practices to what the kids know. And kids and parents might not also get feedback and be able to adjust to what the kids know and especially address deficiencies. And then there's the high stakes part of the exams. The idea there being maybe that exams can cause stress. And in developing countries, they might reduce interest in school or eventually lead to dropout just because the exams are so stressful and kids can fail these exams.
And do we have evidence that this is a real problem?
So I think this is a little bit of a tougher question. In terms of stress, there is some observational evidence, particularly in the US, that high stakes exams can cause stress for kids. And in India, they've attributed dropout and some of the poor learning outcomes in school to their over-reliance on end of year high stakes exams. And this, to me, it seems like a pretty reasonable conjecture, but I wouldn't say there's really strong evidence that schooling and learning outcomes are directly attributable to these exams.
Okay, so how about the evidence base for more frequent assessments? Do we have a good suggestion that those work better?
Well, the program that we evaluated in India was really based on this idea called formative assessments, which are frequent assessments to help teachers primarily adjust to what the kids know. And in developed countries such as the US, there is actually a lot of good research on the effectiveness of formative assessments. And for the most part, it says that use of these assessments does improve learning outcomes, although I would say it's probably a bit mixed and not every study shows positive results. And also, there haven't been many evaluations of kind of large scale programs that are kind of rolled out across an entire country, such as the one we studied in India.
Now, you used a randomized controlled trial to test the effectiveness of this. How did that happen that you got the chance to set up this experiment?
Well, the group that I work with, the Jamil Poverty Action Lab in South Asia and India, they have partnerships with a lot of state governments in India, and they do promote the use of randomized evaluations to understand how implemented policies are working. And the state of Haryana, which is in Northwest India near capital city of Delhi, they were interested in doing a research project with J-PAL. And we discussed various things they could evaluate. And it just so happened that at the time, they were rolling out this very large, continuous and comprehensive evaluation program that was mandated by the national government that every state in India happened to be rolling out at about the same time. And we were able to stagger the rollout in a way that we could evaluate it rigorously through a randomized control trial. So we randomly assigned some schools to get this program first, and some other schools were assigned to a control group where they ultimately got the program after the first year.
Well, it's a great opportunity, isn't it? So how much extra assessment did this government policy suggest that teachers should be doing, and how were they supposed to be doing it?
Well, there are actually a lot of dimensions to this. It was called continuous and comprehensive evaluation. And the continuous part was a very frequent amount of assessment, which was monthly in many cases, or they wanted the assessments reported monthly. Then they wanted a very broad set of assessments. So not just exams, but also homework, projects, in-class interactions, and other classroom activities. And then the type of competencies that they were looking at were going beyond the basics. So even in primary school, they went beyond just language and math to things like co-scholastic activities like arts, music, athletics, and then also life skills and attitudes in school. And for all of this, they had detailed rubrics and evaluation sheets that the teachers were supposed to use to actually conduct the assessments themselves. And those rubrics really formed the core of the program.
And I guess the point of this isn't just that the central or the state government finds out about how children are doing. It's so that the teachers can actually use these results in the classroom.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The idea behind formative assessment is less for that kind of bottom-up reporting and really more for allowing teachers to address learning deficits and also provide feedback to kids and parents and allow them to know how the kid is doing.
Right, Jim. Well, in your experiment, what was the benefit of this formative assessment then?
Really, there wasn't much.
Our main
evaluation was on its effect on language and math skills. And we really found no effects on either set of competencies that we tested. And we had a pretty large sample. So it wasn't just statistical noise that we weren't able to find effects. It was that we're pretty sure the effects, if there are any, are extremely small.
But no effects at all, Jim. I mean, that really is disappointing, isn't it? Why did it not make a difference, do you think?
Well, we had to really dig into the way the program was implemented. And I think the thinking about the kind of chain of starting with performing these assessments, going all the way to how these assessments were supposed to be used, we kind of found breakdowns at a lot of points, and that some teachers weren't actually doing the assessments, or they weren't fully following the protocols that they had been instructed to do. But there were a lot of teachers who were. And a lot of teachers were both filling out these sheets and they were expanding the ways that they were assessing children. But the real breakdown was in using the assessments to actually remediate learning deficits or just change the way they were teaching. And that's somewhere where the training for the teachers kind of touched upon it, but they didn't really go into a lot of detail and what exactly are you supposed to do. And so what we had was this kind of big infrastructure to conduct assessments, but maybe less in the way of actually how to put them into use to affect learning.
It really does show that a policy like this, that on one level seems straightforward, can be extremely complex to implement, can't it?
Yes, indeed. And I think that a big issue was the breadth of assessments that these teachers were required to do. And they actually reported that it was kind of a big paperwork burden, that it wasn't so much as a teaching tool as much as just another set of forms to fill out.
So it wasn't that the teachers didn't understand what they're doing. I think you said that they had some training, and it wasn't that they were resisting the change. It was just quite an onerous policy for them to put into place.
I think that's right. And I think they really wanted it to be successful, and the government wanted it to be successful. It was kind of the flagship program for education, changing primary education in India. And what we actually did at the same time was we introduced another program that was quite a bit simpler to mostly get teachers in another set of schools to focus on just basic reading and math skills. And what they would do would be also frequent assessment, but the focus was on how to use that assessment to address the particular needs of each type of student. And that program itself, we called it Teaching at the Right Level. That program was really successful. And it was done on the same population of teachers, a different set of teachers, but it was also in Haryana and the same types of schools. And so we kind of show that the teachers can be successful in this if the program gets it right. But it just, this continuous assessment program by itself didn't seem to work very well.
I see. So this program was happening in parallel, but it wasn't the government mandated one, but it did away with that bureaucratic overhead, a lot of that understandably gets put in, but it looks like that got in the way of success here.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that a lot of it was just what are we focusing on? And focusing on addressing really basic learning needs in math and in language, if that is a priority within primary schools, then if you have a sort of complex evaluation system that brings in a lot of other activities and doesn't really focus on addressing those learning needs, I think that that was really where this particular program broke down.
Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's not just in one place that this change is taking place. It's very popular all over education, primary education, especially in a developing world. Does your results suggest that perhaps similar primary school assessment policies that are being put in place in other countries at the moment maybe aren't working as well as the policymakers think they are?
Well, I don't really want to overinterpret our results here, but I think it does maybe provide some general guidelines in terms of how these policies should be designed. I mean, we did look into some of the other assessment programs that had been implemented in other countries, and a lot of the discussion of these programs had sort of a similar flavor to what we were finding in India, which was that, you know, there was perhaps an overwhelming paperwork burden and sort of less attention on learning. And to the extent that that's true, I think that's really where we can apply our results and say, well, if you're designing such a system, then the focus should really be on the interface between assessment and actual teaching practices. But it's a little hard to say definitively that these countries that are implementing these big formative or continuous assessment programs are absolutely not working.
So, Jim, I am going to make you policymaker for today, and your job as policymaker is to improve the standard of primary education. How are you going to go about it and make sure that there is a positive result for pupils and teachers?
Well, just focusing on developing countries and really the younger grades, the grades 1, 2, 3, 4 in primary, I think it really needs to be focused on basic numeracy and literacy skills and other types of skills, softer skills. They're also important, but I think that the core really needs to be on these sort of core academic outcomes, just reading and math. And really taking frequent assessment is very important so that teachers can really know what their kids know and what their kids don't know. And then really tying that to specific strategies to address the deficits that they see. So if they are realizing that in third grade, half of the kids are still reading at a first grade level, then instead of just going through the third grade curriculum, they need to move the goalposts a little bit and really teach to the level of the kids. And I think in that context, like frequent assessment can be really, really useful, but we really have to keep our eye on the goal of improving learning and not just do assessment for assessment's sake.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. You have the job. if you want it, that is. These are not easy reforms to make, are they?
No, they're not. And these systems are very complicated. And so it's easy to opine on them and much harder to implement them.
Well, thank you very much for opining on them with me today. I really appreciate it. And it's a great piece of research. Very interesting.
Oh, thank you very much, Tim.
Now, if you want to read about this, the paper is called Failure of Frequent Assessment, an Evaluation of India's Continuous and Comprehensive Evaluation Programme. And the authors are James Berry, Harini Kannan, Shobhini Mukherjee and Mark Shotland. And you will find it in the Journal of Development Economics 143, that's just published 2020. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. If you enjoyed it, subscribe on your podcast platform. You'll never miss an episode. And there are past episodes at voxdev.org.